A disciple is not above his teacher. But everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. Or yours may say, like his master. Who is our master? Jesus Christ. Who are his disciples? We are. And this explains the goal. We want to be like Jesus. As a congregation, that is our goal. To be like Jesus. This morning we are doing things just a little bit differently. There will be a presentation from the evangelists and the elders. As we talk about our plans for the 2016-2017 year that we have before us, our annual theme, some of the works that we have coming for us, ready for us to participate in. Keep in mind, though, that everything we do is very simply about helping each and every one of us be disciples, becoming like our Master, Jesus Christ. What does that mean? What is Jesus like? What is it about Jesus that we want to grow to be like? We recognize that God is at the center of being a disciple and being like Jesus Christ. Here's what we see from Jesus in John 12:28. Father, glorify your name. Jesus came into the world not to be glorified for himself, not to be honored, but in order to pass that honor along to Father. What does a disciple do then? A disciple honors God. What else do we recognize about Jesus? In John chapter 8 and verse 28. So Jesus said, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he and that I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father has taught me. Here is God the Son, incarnate deity. Deity in the flesh. Jesus the Christ. And yet he learned from God. He did what the Father taught him. What does a disciple then do if we are becoming like our Master? We learn from God. Jesus said in John 15:9, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. What is it that Jesus did? What is it that Jesus does? Jesus loves. But what is the standard for his love? As the Father loved him, he said, I have loved you. And so Jesus tells us that we are to love one another as he has loved us, giving himself up for us. A disciple loves like God. And Jesus explains in John 17:26, I have made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known. Jesus, God in the flesh, while he was here on the earth, he pointed everyone to the Father. Pointed them to God. What does a disciple do? A disciple points others to God. A disciple creates and makes and develops other disciples. That is what our Master did. That is what our Master does. And as we grow in discipleship, that is what we will increasingly do. And Jesus says in John chapter 8 and verse 55, but I do know him and I keep his word. How did Jesus live? By abiding within the word of God. That's our Master. He honored God. He learned from God. He loved like God. He pointed others to God, all while abiding in God's word. And that's what we want to be. We want to be disciples who honor God, who learn from God, who love like God, who point others to God, all while abiding in God's word. And everything we do as a congregation is very simply directed that way. Our shepherds would like to share with you some of the plans for the coming year as we strive to make this year a year of discipleship, a year of growing to be like our Master. I am excited about the plans that we've got. Brother Bob Andrews is going to talk to us about what we have in store for honoring God within this coming year.
Disciple honors God. In the beginning, three very exciting words, and we love new beginnings. The beginning of a new school year, the beginning of football season, the beginning of a vacation or an adventure or a birth, a new beginning. Three exciting words, but it's the fourth word that's the game changer. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. And that's our theme for the next 12 months. And as Edwin said, we are thrilled to present that theme to you. Much thought has gone into it. And if you'll look in your program, thank you. We have eight words that we call that piece of paper. It's a program. You will find in there the theme booklet, and if you would open that, you would see that the objective is very simple. Put God in the beginning of everything you do and are. And so in September, in the beginning, God will lay the foundation for the entire 12 months. October, in the beginning of our identity, God. Our unity, God. Our faith, God. Our relationships, our congregation, our worship, our family, our job. And then in July, in the beginning of our hope, God. And then August, it leads up to this, and I can't wait to hear these lessons. In the end, God. And we will worship together, and we will honor God as we unfold and unpack this theme for this entire year. The shepherds also want you to know that the teens, and they get together very often in this church, and we're happy for that, they will be following this same theme. And the parents of the teenagers are asked to get together tonight at 6 p.m. in the classroom building directly behind you. So we'll be doing several things during the year that will heighten and enlighten us in that theme. For instance, on January the 14th, we have our annual In His Presence singing and worship time together. That will be, as always, a very exciting time together. We'll invite guests in from the community. This building, God willing, will be overflowing with people singing praises to God. And in December, leading up to that, Brother Matt and Brother Benjamin and Brother Todd will lead us in some thoughts on singing and glorifying God better in singing, and we look forward to that time of worship with them. Also, we want to thank, in addition to those, Matt and Dave and Derek for the good work that they do in arranging the assembly and the assignments and making sure everyone is in their places, and also the deacons that take care of the parking and any emergencies that might come up in any security. We are blessed in this church by hardworking, dedicated deacons that do so many things that make it possible for us to, in a very godly way, honor God through worship. So we're thrilled to present these ideas to you about a disciple honors God.
Well, to honor God fully, a disciple must learn who he is and what he wants his people to be. One of the most well-known hope-filled appeals from Jesus was when he said, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus was essentially repeating an appeal from God that he first made through Moses to his people of the Old Testament. Moses reminded Israel that God brought them to stand before him in front of the Mount Horeb, that I might let them hear my words so that they may learn to fear me all the days that they live on earth, and that they may teach their children so. And he commanded that once in the land, they were to come together often and regularly to renew that learning. God wanted his people to know his character. A theme from a few years ago, we looked at Jeremiah 9, verses 23 and 24. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. Words that were in the song we sang a few minutes ago. But let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me. That I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. And just as Jesus taught us that as disciples we are to become like him, our master, God is behind that too. When he wanted his people in Micah chapter 6 and verse 8, to become like him, he reminded them, I've told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness. In other words, to practice steadfast love just like he does. And to walk humbly with your God. We've targeted our efforts to learn from God specifically through our weekly Bible classes. And to you who are guests in our audience, we want you to know we purposely gather together in a worship time to honor God intergenerationally so that infants who you can often hear grow up in the presence of elders and aged who honor God and they see that. But we purposely divide our classes into ages and grades that are appropriate so that they can learn with curriculum that can be geared toward them. And we have those classes before this hour at 9 o'clock, as we'll talk about a little bit more. And it's those that I want to talk just a few minutes about our changes and the things we've been doing as we focus to this new trimester coming up. For our adult classes first, I want to let you know, if you'll look at that bulletin or the small foldy thing inside the larger foldy thing, you'll see that we're going to have adult classes, but one change is going to happen this time. We're going to retain our trimesters so that we can stay in line with our children's classes and their curriculum, but we're going to manage our adult classes in a quarterly session. That is 13 weeks of Sunday, Wednesday classes. And we're going to then add a month of a special session at the end of each trimester. This enables us to have more well-prepared materials, usually targeted for quarterly studies, that we can benefit from and help our teachers have to teach. We're wanting to develop teachers who can help present classes in a three-tiered learning level system. And I should have put this on a slide, but I want to try to explain real quickly. When I say a three-tiered system, we're not talking about level 101, 102, or 101, 201, and 301 classes, or a basic, deeper, deepest kind of classes. We're talking about more of an approach for how we can use in level one, learn some fundamentals, deal with the who, what, when, where of the Bible, the basics and the big picture. And we've been having classes out here that help us do that. A level two would be an application level. Deals with the bigger picture and the why of the Bible and how we use those fundamentals in our daily life and in our thinking. And a level three class is going to be what's called an expression level. Deals with taking what we've learned and knowing how to present it to others and to express it. How we can respond to error and how we can present truth. Ideally, we want to offer at least four adult classes per trimester. And in the fall, that will include one of those being our college class. We're working on a plan for at least 2 years out, hopefully three. But as you can see in the bulletin, our brochure this morning, we've got this year planned out. And I want you to take a look at that and see the classes that we have to offer. This fall, we've already talked about our classes going to be here in the auditorium, the United Kingdom, with Brother Edwin teaching that. That's kind of one of those level one overview classes, learning the basics of that Old Testament story. Brother Andrew Roberts is going to teach a class entitled Night and Day, a Comparative Study of Christianity and Islam. That would kind of be one of those level three classes, learning some practical things and helping you talk to your neighbors. I'm going to have the opportunity with Todd Chandler to teach who is a God like ours, really who is a God like you from the minor prophets. And that's kind of one of those level two classes. And we're going to have a class on the parables that Brother Bob Andrews is going to teach with the college age class. So there's opportunity to be here. I also want you to note down at the bottom of that page, we're having some special one-month classes. Bob already mentioned this, that we're in December going to be doing some activities in a special month session where our teens and our adults are going to be in here together, and we're going to have special focus on some things. You'll see that in April, we're going to have some special focus on some evidences and apologetics. And in August, the armor of God. And all of those talk about the beginning and God being centered in both practical and helpful ways to take to others. We've done a lot of work with our children's classes. As we announced about a month ago, yesterday was our first work day. And while Kelly said that we had about 50, I think we had more like 70 or more. I told my wife it was more like working in a beehive. Because nobody could take account. Everybody was out doing something, though. And it was just the most encouraging kind of day. And I want to thank Bill Eskett for putting that together and coordinating that. He's our deacon in charge of our teaching program and a lot of that. But he's had help, as he will tell you readily, from Crystal Hunter, who helps with our curriculum and getting so much prepared. And each of our, also a coordinator for each one of our children's classes. They've done an immense amount of work in the past few weeks. And I don't want to minimize at all the teachers who teach every week and the helpers who help in those classes. Next Saturday, there's another workday opportunity. And if you signed up or if you didn't sign up and you can help again, let Bill know and he'll put you on that email distribution list. There are going to be some changes because of this work. I'm going to just briefly try to tell you, you can't memorize this real quickly. There might be a slide behind me here. But we've moved all our infant and youngest classes to these rooms right here behind me. That's infant through kindergarten, 4 and 5 years old. In the rooms here where they are in this main building with adults, for their safety and for our ability to facilitate parents being able to get them. We moved our kindergarten and first grade classes over to that classroom building. It's going to start being called the B building. And there are adults always there, so there's safety there for them. We've moved our second, third, and fourth grade classes and the learning centers to these rooms that are upstairs off the foyer. And we've moved our fifth and sixth grade learning centers and our teen classes over to the house. So we've done kind of a little bit of a round robin, and that was the work that needed to be done yesterday and again this Saturday. And next week, hopefully, we've been having a plan. Brother Peter Murphy and Brian Harbor have been working to get some signs around in each one of these doors so that you're going to know exactly where you need to go. And Brother Bill's going to get this map for you on the table, parents, so that you'll know where to take your children next Sunday as they begin their classes and as they continue to learn from God. And so I want to urge you to renew and solidify your commitment this year. With one simple and profound goal, we talk about the growth circle of discipleship. Come to a Bible class. Come on each week, Sunday morning and Wednesday night. Do whatever it takes to get here. To join in fellowship with your fellow disciples. Learn God. Learn of Him and from Him. Let Him show you what's good and what He requires. Learn Jesus. Learn of Him and learn from Him. Are you weary and heavy laden? Know the truth. That's what makes you free. It doesn't happen magically. Burdens are lifted as we know Him deeper and more fully. Learn the Spirit. Learn of Him and from Him. What it means to walk in the Spirit and in His revelation of the greatness of God. Brothers and sisters and guests, we are not just learning for the purpose of intellectual knowledge. We want revelation knowledge. Amen. Intellectual knowledge feeds the ego. Revelation knowledge reveals the greatness of our God. The humble recognize their need for the truth revealed and are willing to learn from him. So parents, bring your children. And maybe I should say, rather as Jesus did, let them bring you. Let the little children come unto me, and do not hinder them, for such is the kingdom of heaven. And I tell you, unless you turn and become like little children, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. After listening to Julene, who's going to teach the four-year-olds this fall, I'll tell you what, I want to be in that class. I want to learn to teach like their teachers do. But I can begin this year to become like them in wonder and hopefulness, in learning God and the joy of singing and praying and learning together of him. I need that from my Bible classes. I hope you'll join us.
Let's worship and petition our God in prayer. Almighty God in heaven, creator of the universe and all that is therein, the one and only true and living God, the Alpha and the Omega, the author of our salvation and the redeemer of our souls, it is with a sense of awe and wonder that we attempt to honor you this morning. When we consider in the grand scheme of life, even though we feel so insignificant sometimes, just how important we are to you. When we consider the plan that you, our God, Christ our Lord and Savior, and the Holy Spirit our Comforter, had for us before the foundation of the world, the phrase, in the beginning, God, takes on a whole new meaning. When we consider that you carved out of your beautiful universe a single planet created especially for us to inhabit, to have dominion over, and to be in charge of, and to see your handiwork everywhere is too much to comprehend. And to further our awe, we consider our earthly tabernacles, these jars of clay, so fearfully and wonderfully made, created in your image, breathing in and out the breath of life into which you first gave Adam. Father, we ask your forgiveness when we fail to see that you are our protector and our benefactor, when we attempt to manage our own lives on this earth with self-assurance and short-sightedness. Help us to see that in our lives we are nothing without you. And as disciples, you must not merely be a part, but the whole, the center of our lives, which governs our every thought and action. May we honor you always in this regard. Father, help us to realize the great blessing we have as a spiritual family here in this local congregation. We as shepherds are so thankful for the privilege to serve, to lead, and set the direction for this wonderful group of talented servants who hunger and thirst after righteousness, to work with our two very dedicated evangelists, to challenge and motivate us all to stretch and reach higher and see further. These evangelists and the eldership have, as you know, prayed with humility and planned diligently to prepare timely and appropriate sermons, classroom curriculum, Bible reading schedules, devotionals, so that we may learn more from you as to how we should conduct our lives as your ambassadors. We ask for your continued wisdom and blessing as we endeavor to create interest and enthusiasm for our house-to-house meetings, with the goal of eventually having all of our number involved. May each of us be reminded of Evan's contrast of the assembly and the living room and the blessings therein. In one, we are reminded we are an army. In the other, we are a family. In one, we stand with another in your presence. In the other, we sit with one another in the middle of life. In one, we celebrate what you have done for all of us. And the other, we celebrate what you're doing in each of us. In one, we share our resources for the greater kingdom impact. And in the other, we share our time for deeper personal discipleship. In one, we are inspired to go higher. And in the other, we are challenged to go deeper. As a result, Father, we are confident that we will grow individually as disciples, and therefore the church will grow and be strong in faith, resulting in more meaningful relationships and deeper connections as we learn to love more like you. As we love more like you, we will see the value that you have placed on the souls of mankind, and we will be more willing instruments to point others to you, our God. May we do all these things, Holy Father, while abiding in your inspired and holy word. We pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen.
We'll sing, "I Stand in Awe." I know the title of this song is a figure of speech, but still, let's, if you're able, stand as we sing this song.
A disciple loves like God. Among the Christians that meet at Livingston Avenue, the work that we do as a congregation to help produce loving one another the way Jesus has loved us are our house-to-house meetings. We are very excited about the opportunity to gather together from house to house. Our fall house-to-house session is about to begin. There are sign-up sheets on the black table in the back. Several of our groups are already full. So we invite you today, as soon as we are done, as members of the congregation, to be a part of our house-to-house relationships, where we gather together on a weekly basis in smaller groups to be challenged based on what we have heard in our Sunday morning lesson. In the program, there are always a series of 5 or 6 questions on page 3 that you can use for further study. And that's what dictates the discussion that takes place in our house-to-house sessions. Those sessions have 3 parts: a time of sharing what's going on in our lives, where we need help, where we've had victories; a time of discussion, opening up the Word and challenging ourselves based on what we've heard and the lessons that are presented here in the assembly; and then a time of prayer, where we pray together with and for one another, based on what has come up in the discussion, based on what happened in the time of sharing. It's an exciting time. Those who have been involved in it have expressed the great benefit that it has provided for each and every one of them, as they have learned that they're not alone in the struggles that they face in life, as they've learned to open up and share with one another what's going on, as they've learned to pray with and for one another, as they've learned to carry the lessons that they get on Sunday with them throughout the week. So many benefits and so many blessings have come from that. That session is going to begin. It's going to be from the week of September 11th through the week of November 13th. It's 10 weeks long that you can meet in that small group session. So I would encourage you to sign up today. We have heard just a little bit of feedback from some that have said they wanted to participate. But where we are at the beginning of this process here in this second year as we've followed this, that the opportunities and the options to be involved because of the limitations we have that can't make it on those days or at those times. So on the table by the sign up, we do have a sheet there that we would love for you to go. If you can't be involved because of the times and opportunities, put your name down on that. Say when you could, what day and time would work for you. As we expand and grow in our house to house work, we hope that this will benefit you and you can be involved in a later time. But that'll help us in our planning. So please don't forget to do that. That's really going to help us out as we consider what we can do in the future to expand this and help get everyone involved in our house to house. There are just a couple other things that while I'm up here that I would like to take the time to share with you. We do have a Getting to Know Livingston class. If you're a guest among us and you have questions about what we're doing, about what our plans are, about how we make our decisions, about how the congregation is run, about any of those aspects, we have a one-session class. It takes place on various Sunday afternoons. We would invite you to be a part of that. There are sign-up sheets on the guest center in the foyer. Please let us know when you can be involved. We're having a special college student edition next Sunday, September 4th. It'll be from 2:30 to 4:30. We are asking all of our students, no matter what school you're a part of or attending, that you would please come to that session, even if you were with us last year. We're asking everyone who is a college student to please be involved in that session next week. Help us out so that we know which room we need to have that class in. Sign up for it on your way out. There's a special lengthened sign-up sheet. It's one session, 2 hours, next Sunday afternoon from 2:30 to 4:30. Please sign up so that we can know where to host that class next Sunday afternoon. And then the next standard edition is going to be on September 25th. So for our guests, and we are asking our members at this time to please go through this class as well, please sign up for that so that we can have a full class, that we can learn about the congregation. Finally, I do want to talk about our daily Bible reading online devotional plan. Starting next week, it's a new year. We will have new daily Bible reading plans up around the doors and the exits. But I did want to let you know about putgodinthebeginning.wordpress.com. That's where our online Devo is going to be. Go sign up for that, and every day it can come into your mailbox. Just get to that website, scroll down to the bottom of the page, subscribe, and you'll receive that in your inbox every day. Wouldn't it be great that we could read God's Word together so that we'd have something to talk about other than the weather and football when we as disciples get together with one another, what we're learning in God's Word. So I hope you can join us in that work as well.
A disciple points others to God. We reproduce what we are. If we're Christ's disciples, we're to make disciples. And that goes back to the Great Commission. In Matthew 28 and verse 19, our Lord said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." The Bible word for carrying that good news of victory in Jesus to another person is evangelism. And what I love about seeing this part of the discipleship circle, that disciples point others to God, is it makes it so clear. Evangelism isn't for the few. It's not just for the preacher or an elder or a deacon. It's not for the few. It's what disciples do. We point others to God. We share the good news and we make more disciples. Yes, you can point others to God. And you point others to God when you have credibility in your life, that your acquaintances and the people around you know that you walk the talk. And you point others to God when you have the courage to speak, to make that invitation, to worship, and to offer a Bible study. Yes, credibility and courage, they go hand in hand, and thus we are salt and light in the world. And I want you to know something, friends. That can start today before we even leave this church building. That starts today right here with you in your pew. We practice something here we call the 10-minute rule. And what that basically means is, when this service time is over, take those first couple of minutes, maybe about 10 minutes, to meet and greet a new face. Then huddle up with your friends and your family and shoot off to lunch, but meet and greet a new face. They may be someone that's visiting here for the first time, a guest to the assembly the first time. It may be someone that's been a member here for a little while, but it's a new face to you. So meet and greet them. Credibility and the courage to speak. And you know what? We don't have to wait till the service is over to practice that 10-minute rule. If you get here a few minutes early and you realize there's a new face in your pew, say hello. Greet them. That's the first thing I want to say about pointing others to God. The second is this, that as we go from sitting in our pew, we might just look back to the front door. And I want to particularly talk about our guest evangelism effort. I just want to recognize a few fellows that have been working hard for over a year now in organizing that. My guess is when you came in this morning, you were warmly greeted. Somebody smiled. They handed you a program. They could tell you about Bible classes for your kids or where you needed to go next. And that is because of the efforts of Peter Murphy and some others who are working with the greeters who have volunteered and the greeters that are doing a great job in that evangelism effort. And while their guest evangelism effort and while their faces are the most prominent, that's not the only part of it. Adam Lester works hard in taking up the connection cards, collecting those and sorting those out. Chris Hagamo's been working hard with our data capture. And Brian Dennis has a team of about 100 volunteers. 100 of you have said, I'll write a thank you note. I'll write a card to someone who is a guest in our assembly. And we have a goal for each guest to receive at least 3 of those handwritten notes. And so Brian's doing a great job with that. And I want all of you to know who are working in that guest evangelism effort right here at the front doors and the Welcome Center that you're making a huge difference. I had such a great opportunity a couple weeks ago now. Edwin and I, we went and had breakfast with a first-time guest. And we wanted to hear all about the experiences of what it was like coming and worshiping in Livingston. And do you know, that fellow went on and on about the warm welcome he received. He said it actually started out in the parking lot. It was a rainy day in Florida. Can you imagine? But he came and his wife on a rainy day, and they were greeted with people with umbrellas outside, ushered in, given programs, made to feel welcome, introduced to people. It was just phenomenal. I tell you, you're making a huge difference because I read several of those connection cards and people say, well, I came because so-and-so invited me. I came because so-and-so brought me. All right. And so they are mentioning how thankful they are to be invited. And then we talk with repeat guests and they say, I was so glad to get that letter. It's meant so much when you called. You're really making a difference. So what do we want to do forward this year with the guest evangelism effort? Well, we want to take some more volunteers. I've met some people in the last couple of weeks who I think have never met a stranger. Well, you need to be involved in our guest evangelism effort. We're going to be recruiting some new volunteers. We're going to have some training time with that. We're going to be streamlining and updating the data entry process a little bit. But that work is moving forward and doing great. The third and final thing I wanted to tell you about is disciples point others to God. We think about what we can do in the pew. That's our 10-minute rule. We think about what we're doing in the foyer at the doors. There's our guest evangelism effort. Here's the third thing. And that is beyond this building. And every day. Where people see our credibility of life and we need the courage to speak. Please make that invitation a week. You're doing so good at that, of making an invitation a week. I know you're doing good at that, again, because I read the connection cards and people say so-and-so invited me. But also because people are sharing their stories. They want to talk to me about, Andrew, let me tell you, I invited somebody and this is how I went. And I tell them how it went for me this past week. Let me tell you a great one I heard last week. Brother came and he introduced to me a friend, a co-worker of his, a lovely lady, and she was happy to be here that day. Well, after she left, he proceeded to tell me, you know, I invited 4 of my co-workers at work, and every single one of them said, I'm going to come out to worship with you. Not a single one of them ever showed up. But then I invited this 5th one, and she came. I sure am glad I didn't stop at 4. Amen. I'm glad he didn't too. One a week. One a week. That invitation, that recommendation, it makes a huge, huge difference. The other thing I want to update you on is something that Edwin and I are working on. We're very excited, very passionate about it. And that is our evangelism tool. The ultimate goal of it is we are going to have put together a gospel presentation that nearly everyone in this church can learn, to know, to feel comfortable reproducing and sharing with another. It's going to be a tool that's accessible 24 hours on a website, ineedgoodnewstoday.com. And the phase one rollout of that is slated for late January. But currently, before we put the next, I guess, resources into some of the technical development of that tool, we want to be solid on the content and the manner of presenting this information. We're looking for some feedback. Evelyn and I have already started sitting down with some of you and kind of going through the tool and seeing where we're at. But here's what I'd like to ask you. If you have 20, 25 minutes that I could spend with you or Evelyn could spend with you to share with you the tool, we'd love your feedback. We'd love to know what you think about it right now. And what might even be a step better is if you have a non-Christian friend and you've been trying to think of a way to share the gospel with them, maybe you could set up a meeting or a coffee and we could share that. Like I said, about 20 minutes is all we're looking for in this initial presentation of the gospel. We're very encouraged, though, that we're on the right track. A couple of weeks ago, Edwin and I were working on the tool. We'd spent an afternoon on it when the phone rang. And it was one of the young ladies in the congregation. And she said, Andrew, she goes, I've set up a Bible study for tomorrow with one of my friends. I said, well, that's fantastic. She said, yeah, but I don't know what I'm going to say. And I looked at Edwin and Edwin looked at me. And that's one of those, well, this is suspiciously providential because we're working on something we really want you to say. And she came and she sat with us and she saw the presentation. She said, oh, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that. And she did. We were so encouraged by that. We'd like to have a little bit more feedback just to make sure that everyone can learn this and everyone can use this. Because we know this, with the credibility of walking the talk in your life. And then you couple that with the courage that comes from knowing exactly what you want to say and exactly what you want to teach to someone that's seeking for the gospel. We will be greatly equipped and empowered by the grace of God and the will of God to point others to God. And may God bless us as we pursue that in these ways this year. Brother Edwin?
If you'd like to go ahead and put your programs away and your notes or your Bibles that you've had out, we're going to be singing an invitation song in just a few moments. If you're going to be using a songbook, feel free to get that out. Otherwise, the words will be up on the screen behind me. Thank you so much for your kind patience and attention to our guests. This has been a little bit different than what we normally do. We normally have a sermon at this time, but I hope that this has helped you understand what we as a congregation are doing and what our plans are. And we hope that you've learned from that you really want to be a part of that. We'd love to talk to you about that, and we'd love to invite you to be a part of us. As we talk about disciples, we understand that a disciple does all of this while abiding in God's word. In fact, Jesus said, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. For us to abide in God's word, it's going to begin by being born from God's word. Peter said, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. What is that good news? The wages of sin is death. Bad news. You sinned. I've sinned. And what we have earned is death. And we call that justice. But God, in his infinite mercy, did not want to leave us in death. And so the gift of God is eternal life. And we call that mercy. We deserve death. We earn death. But God wants to give us what we don't deserve. He wants to give us life. And that life is found in one place and one place alone. That is Jesus Christ. And we call that good news. That's the gospel. In Jesus Christ, who went to the cross, who shed his blood, who died there, and on the third day was resurrected to be our King. That, brothers and sisters, friends and neighbors, is good news. And it's in Christ Jesus who is our Lord. This is good news for those who will let Jesus be not only their Savior, but be their Lord. Who will not simply say, I believed on one moment, I was baptized at one moment, and now I live how I want, but Jesus is my Lord. I am a part of His people. I am a part of His kingdom. He is my King. He is my sovereign. He is my master. I will give my life over to Him. I'll be a part of His people, the church. That's the word. A disciple abides in the word of God, and that word is the good news that he's given. And that's where a disciple begins. So you're probably asking, if this is in Christ Jesus, how do I get there? What shall we say then? At the beginning of the exact same chapter, we just read Romans 6:23. This is at the beginning of the exact same chapter. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were buried therefore with Him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Do you want to be a disciple? Someone who honors God, who learns from God, who loves like God, who points others to God, all while abiding in God's Word? Then I plead with you to begin in God's Word. To be born again by God's Word. To enter Jesus Christ, who is the living Word. Will you be baptized into Jesus Christ so that you might be a disciple who honors God, learns from God, loves like God, and points others to God, all while abiding in His Word? We want to help you with that this morning. Won't you please, right now, come forward as we stand and sing, so we can.